Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Over 12,000 people are expected to attend a major writers' conference in San Antonio next week. The AWP Conference and Book Fair is the largest literary conference in North America. It's held in different cities every year. This year, it takes place in a city with a 25% illiteracy rate. Two San Antonio writers offered their perspective on this disparity and contrast of cultures in two online essays. Pablo Miguel Martinez writes about the cultural richness of San Antonio, including its wealth of brilliant writers, but its illiteracy plays a role in holding back representation, employment, and education. Barbara Renault Gonzalez argues the publishing world does not understand the Latino culture, and that's a conversation sparked most recently by the controversy over the novel American Dirt. Both Renault Gonzalez and Martinez want the thousands of visiting writers, publishers, editors, teachers, and students to go beyond the walls of the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center and get to know a city and culture that's waiting to be understood.
I want them to know about the immigration story. You know, there are great immigrant stories out there, but there are very few. Don't quote me, but I think it's around 1%. Of Latino writers or Latino stories that are being told about immigration. The Texas story, we don't know. And I feel that if we can get these stories listened to, we can not participate in the discussion in this country about where we've been and where we're going.
And so, Pablo, you and Barbara have written about the illiteracy rate in San Antonio and how it's almost a clash between this group of thousands of people are coming to San Antonio for this conference. And maybe they don't know about the high illiteracy rates in San Antonio and the fact that there is no major bookstore in the central part of our city. So can you explain your perspective about sort of that clash of cultures there?
Well, on a very fundamental level, there is no literature without literacy. And I would hope that writers who come here, understanding that, as in any conference setting, people come into the city, and frankly, at some point, it could be any city, USA. They get to the airport, get to the hotel, get to the conference site, back to the hotel, and before you know it, they're on the return flight home. So I understand that dynamic, that reality. But I would hope that having a conference like this of authors from around the country and Canada, the context that it's taking place in a city with this 25% illiteracy rate, one in four people here cannot read. That is huge. And that, you know, we either turn a blind eye to it, so it's willful neglect, or that we say, well, it doesn't affect me directly, because these writers obviously are highly literate. What's their connection to the local population when they're here for 72 hours? Someone said recently, I want to go to these conferences around the country, and it would be a huge mistake on my part if I don't learn the city. Not learn about the city, but learn. So someone said, how do I learn San Antonio? And it's like, that for a writer is an important entry point. The fact that one in four of the local population cannot read.
You have advocated for getting those people out into the community, again, like you were saying, to learn more about the citizenry. But does AWP advocate for bringing the community to the conference, or is it just too insider with writers and publishers?
Sadly, it's the latter. It's the latter. I know there have been some good efforts, good faith efforts to do exactly that, to bring the community, particularly students, high school students, college students, to get them there. But I don't know how much success that has met with. But again, there has been an attempt. But in terms of the readings, what an amazing access we have over those 3 or 4 days, as Barbara said, to some of the best writers in the country. And yet it is very clubbish and it's very insider. So there isn't that opportunity for dialogue. You know, why is it that there are so few high-profile Latina, Latino writers that are part of this conference in a city like this?
San Antonio, there are many writers here, including myself, and they've come because of the cost of living here. It takes a long time to write a book. It's best if you don't have to work full time. And many writers, if they're married or have children, want to buy a house. And until very recently, all that was possible. You know, I'm thinking of like John Philip Santos is here, first Chicano Rhodes Scholar, Carmen Tafoya, who's now the president of the Texas Institute of Letters. We have great writers. But it's a kind of a treacherous image in a way, because this is not the case around the country. In fact, I heard on NPR a couple of years ago that 4% of the country's population are writers, but Latinos, it's like 1%. What you're seeing with Pablo and I and the others, we're an exception. We were fortunate in many respects to get the right education at the right time. We had parents or family or teachers who saw our love of reading and guided us and supported us. But that's not going on so much today with the resegregation of schools and how we don't have bookstores, really accessible bookstores in the city. And so what many people don't seem to understand is that the illiteracy affects us all, not just me. It affects us all. But reading and literacy and the love of books and the opening of the mind is a way to build a great city. The illiteracy, this 25%, affects us all because it means there are going to be less bookstores. It means there's going to be less of a cultural discussion, so to speak, or an articulation of culture. And if people don't see others with books in their hands, then how are they encouraged to read? So I have found that with teachers, for example, public school teachers, you have the teachers who are more than willing to go out in the community and to push books on the side, to talk to families. But then there's a whole series of teachers who may not be aware of the stories themselves. Chicano studies, for example, which involves the reading of essential Chicano literature and a canon, is not about nationalism. It's not about a cultural superiority. It's about loving yourself at its root. I want people to understand that. Because I've read so much and there's so much more I need to read, I learned who I am and that I belong in this world. And I am equal, not more, not less. I'm Latina. So I see my community, I see great beauty out there all the time. I see it on the bus, I see it on the streets, I see it at the festivals. It's incredibly tragic. And I know Pablo speaks from this because he was fortunate enough to get to Trinity University. And we know, we fundamentally know as writers and as Latinos that this city can be so much more if we can find a way to reach, to build literacy in the community.
Barbara Renault Gonzalez and Pablo Miguel Martinez are writers in San Antonio. Coming up, Martinez says if young people of color can't tell their own stories, who will?
If a young person thinks, I am incapable of writing my story, of telling my story, what a horrible burden to place on that young person. And that's one more voice that is silenced.
More with Pablo Miguel Martinez and Barbara Renault Gonzalez next on Fronteras.
Support for this podcast comes from Sunshine Cottage's Noche del Sol, a fiesta kickoff event with Mexican food, entertainment, and deliritas, plus a raffle and auctions to benefit the School for Deaf Children, March 26th, 6 p.m. More at sunshinecottage.org.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The Association of Writers and Writers Program holds an annual conference in different U.S. cities. In past years, it's been held in Portland, Oregon, Tampa, Florida, and Washington, D.C. AWP is the largest literary conference in North America. This year, AWP convenes in San Antonio, a city where a quarter of its residents are illiterate. San Antonio is not a literary desert. It has brilliant writers and poets like Naomi Shihab Nye and John Philip Santos. The Alamo City even celebrates its own poet laureates, Carmen Tafoya, Lorianne Guerrero, Jenny Brown, and Octavio Quintanilla. Writers Barbara Renault Gonzalez and Pablo Miguel Martinez say the thousands of writers who will visit San Antonio for AWP next week should learn about the diversity of their host city. Martinez says it's a city rich with cultural capital.
I think there is enormous and highly valuable, and I don't mean that in the capitalistic sense, cultural capital here. However, I think that for it to be disseminated requires pretty formidable resources in lots of contexts. And so I think that because we're not a major media hub, a lot of these stories that are told orally, for example, that still is very much a tradition here, we think, well, the only way to validate them is by being part of what's referred to as the literary industrial complex, which is based, of course, in New York. And as Barbara points out, that reality and the reality of the writers who write their stories is quite different from the reality here. There isn't that attention paid to stories here for that reason. They're not published. The writers of these stories are not as well known as those who are plugged into the publishing capitals here in North America. So that's a concern to me. It's a concern, not just the reality of it, but the perception of it, that young people have bought into this idea that, and I fear that we're part of the problem, Barbara, that unless you have a book published by X publisher, you are not a real, an authentic author. Nothing could be further from the truth, as we know. Why isn't it that instead we instill in young people the idea that, you know, the FUBU thing, for us, by us, that you make literature, you tell your stories, and if it gets out to your community, your immediate community, I'm not talking about even citywide, I'm talking about your neighborhood, that's a success to be celebrated. Instead, we say, well, what prizes do you have? Have you applied to this? Do you have a residency there? And those are the authors whose names we know. And yes, of course, it's a very tiny siphon that you have to get through. And I would expect that there are a few of us relative to our numbers in the general population. So it's a frustrating reality. But we should never forget that the cultural capital is there. And, you know, one of the things that, just very quickly, that we shouldn't forget about an ecosystem, right? Because we're talking about an entire system that supports literacy and the reading of texts, the sharing of them, is that bookstores are great. I love bookstores. But let's not forget public libraries. That, to me, is a daily reminder of a city's commitment to its citizens' literacy, their ability to access information. And I think for a city this size, our public library system, wonderful though it is, that's where I first started reading books, right? I didn't go to a bookstore. My father took my sister and me to the local branch. And I think that we have to insist, those of us who have the power of language, to insist that a resource like that is more supported, because through increased support, the city is saying, this is important. STEM is vitally important. Mm. But even engineers, mathematicians, they need to know how to read. And so I worry about the decimation of the humanities, you know, in higher education, for example, because as Barbara points out, this is all part of a huge matrix. And, you know, because we pay attention to one piece, even if it's negative attention, sometimes it's at the peril of the others.
You want to hear some stats for the people out there who are saying, well, what numbers are they really talking about? These are numbers from, it's called a Dignidad Index from the group Dignidad Literaria that is challenging New York. They have a whole index. And one of the pieces says number of U.S. authors, 45,200. Published books in the U.S. by Latino, Hispanic authors in 2019, 110. For people who maybe as Pablo mentioned, know a few of the prominent Latino authors, that's not even beginning to tap the wealth and the greatness of Latino writers out there. And that's what we're concerned about, that our young people need to know all the stories. They need to know how we love our language, how we are looking at the world in our multidimensional way, how we are finding our voice in speaking to this country. Another thing is that I believe that if we really love our democracy, we are only going to keep it by having an educated populace. That's going to be key. And if our young people don't understand American history and American struggles, the American struggle for justice, I don't mean to be a pessimist, but what I've seen out there is we are not going to be able to claim our American democracy.
There are so many small publishers across the country that are putting out these amazing, diverse stories, but they're reaching a very limited audience. I know many of those publishers are going to be at AWP, but Barbara, you mm-hmm. had mentioned you've had experience with publishers in New York, the major mm-hmm. publishers. When they're thinking of Latino stories, mm-hmm. are they thinking, okay, we're going to tell the story of drug smugglers or gangs or immigrants who are poor and they're stuck trying to cross the river and they die crossing? Is there that some sort of a stereotype of what the publishers see as Latino literature?
Sure. Even the most traveled, very literate people, you know, sophisticated people, they think of us as, you know, they think of sombreros and they think of donkeys, of burros, you know. And, of course, in Texas, we have the taco thing and all that business. And it's just one aspect of who we are. And but they don't know us.
One of the things that I don't agree entirely with some of the movement that's been happening around this Oprah controversy is the fact that the attention is directed at New York publishing, mm-hmm. as well it should. But I think that to put all our focus on that is actually misguided. I think, yes, it's good to challenge New York publishing, but let's challenge ourselves. Let's challenge ourselves here in this city, because let's face it, on March 7th, when all these writers and AWP are gone, we're still here. And these issues that we keep bringing up are still here. I think one of the problems with focusing, again, or refocusing, because this is not the first time this has happened, as we well know, on major publishing enterprises, is that we lose the focus on those smaller independent presses that are doing hard work and good work. So all the negative attention on this one book is actually still attention. And it's selling books. So we, through this work, ironically, are doing the marketing work for Macmillan. And that concerns me deeply, because once again, it's as if, whether knowingly or not, wittingly or not, we are being used again against our own interest. That's deeply disconcerting to me. So I don't quite agree with some of the strategies. I support them, of course. But this movement, as Barbara said, you know, it's about loving. And if we don't love our own gente, our own stories, and ensure somehow that they are told, and not instilling in young people the idea that you're an author, I would take issue with that, what was it, 42,000 number of authors? Mm. Those are published authors, mm-hmm. I will bet.
Yeah.
There are young people at Lanier High School here on the West Side who I have every right and am eager to celebrate as authors.
Yes.
But they don't have a book. They don't have a contract. Does that make them not an author? Of course not. We have to get that message out. Because if a young person thinks, I am incapable of writing my story, of telling my story, what a horrible burden to place on that young person. And that's one more voice that is silenced. We're not counting. We're undercounting. Once again, you know, that verb is too much in our lexicon, undercount. But again, we're saying these are the official stats. They are not. I challenge that. And I think we have to keep mindful of it and keep challenging at every point. Otherwise, we're just maintaining the status quo. You know, there isn't just one Latina story. There isn't just one Chicano story. There are many. And we are fully human, and we have as many stories, complicated as there are numbers of us. You know, literature for me is the thing that says we are human. I think that these few days in March, when writers from around the country will be here, to show, you know, this is what the state, the current state of Latina, Latino letters.
Pablo Miguel Martinez is a poet, essayist, and writer. His collection of poems, Brazos Carry Me, received the 2013 Penn Southwest Book Award for Poetry. He's also co-founder of Canto Mundo, a national retreat workshop for Latinx poets. Barbara Renault Gonzalez is a South Texas writer. She's the author of Golondrina, Why Did You Leave Me? And the collection of essays, Las Nalgas, The J-Lo. AWP 2020, the largest literary conference in North America, is March 4th through the 7th at San Antonio's Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Bree Kirkham. Fernando Ortiz Jr. is our editor. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.